Welcome to another episode of Comedy Wham Presents with me, your host, Valerie, coming to you from the 2024 Moon Tower Comedy Festival. I'm actually home. Moon Tower hasn't started yet. This is going to be a little bit different. ComedyWham.com is your place to go for features about all Austin comedy. In addition to podcasts, we bring you articles, album reviews, our advice column, all of my Austin Chronicle articles, a festivals page, an FPIA page where you can see the history of that contest and more. And you'll find all the best comedy shows on our events pages for Austin, Houston, and DFW. If you're a comic in those cities and want your show featured on the calendar, click Submit a Show at the top of our homepage to complete the short survey. Tag us on your Instagram stories and we'll share your show promo. We also offer show boosts if you're interested in that for a low, low fee. We can help you promote your shows even more. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook at Comedy Wham. Are you looking for ways to support all these resources we provide? Well, you can donate to Comedy Wham on PayPal, Venmo, or even subscribe to our Patreon. Search for Comedy Wham and check out our subscriber perks. Now let's get back to our podcast. Launched in 2016, the podcast project brings you funny people and their stories. As a fan, I like to delve into a comic's background and motivations and will usually take a detour along the way. Consider the interview a way for you to get to know the folks that make the comedy scene as fascinating off stage as it is on stage. And if you like this podcast, please rate and review us. Today, I am talking to somebody who really needs no introduction. He is my comedy nerd best friend in Austin. He is also a fellow Matt and Bob fan, and we've known each other that way. And we love to make fun of his McRib addiction, to be honest. He is one of the hosts on KOOP. He's also one of the hosts that you might hear on KUT in the mornings. And I'm excited. We're going to geek out about Moon Tower 2024. And now Comedy Wham presents our guest, Tracy Schultz. Tracy!
Wow, thank you so much. I am legit honored. I don't get interviewed, and it's like I don't get introductions like that. Thank you. It's
Welcome.
I knew this would be special and kind of like different and interesting, and I'm a little verklempt. Thank you so
Oh.
much. Appreciate that.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. I'm shocked we haven't done this before, but I think it's because we see each other at these comedy events and we geek out and we talk about stuff and we'll sometimes grab a bite to eat together and just geek out about stuff, compare notes. Who did you land? I'm always very secretive about who I land because I'm always nervous about whether or not you're going to get them as well. So I think we have a healthy dose of healthy competition between the two of us.
Well, and because of it, I think also we are the beneficiary of it because right off the bat, one of the guys that's coming back to Moon Tower 2024 is Dana Gould. And we had the privilege to be able to
You did.
interview Dana and Bobcat. And you got the first interview.
I did.
I had the wrap up. But at the same time, honestly, we were the only two people that got a chance to interview those two guys at the premiere of their movie at the Paramount. So
It was a very cool moment. And yeah, I'm always excited when you land big names. I have my own. Well, you and I are alike, but different in certain ways. Because for me, this is a hobby. For you, it's your profession. You get paid for this, so your obsession and your hard work is going to land you bigger names. Plus, you don't just cover comedy, so you get to schmooze with movie stars and TV stars.
well, I will say that I would like for it to pay. It hasn't quite hit there yet. One aspect is like of what people may know me from is like from KUT is kind of like more of the news side, being the board op for the station for shows like This American Life and things like that on the weekends. And that does pay and it's very nice and safe, but the co-op interviews that I do, like this for Moon Tower, is more about doing it. It's like because like the opportunity's there. It's like a co-op is a all volunteer, collectively ran radio station, But it's also the fun radio station. And so that's the reason why I'm still kind of keeping up with it, because things happen and they just like send a press release and it's like, would you like to talk to this person? And if you yes and enough, then you get to do cool things. It's like covering Moon Tower. I would love to go to Moon Tower on my own, but it having kind of like the added challenge of seeing how many folks it's like that I can get to speak into my microphone. That's kind of become the thrill. And it's like, and that's great. And people say yes, you know, it's like Dana Gould said yes. And so that's been, it's like where I get my buzz, I guess. It's like off of going to comedy shows. So
yeah. And for that perspective, we're definitely alike. There's such a buzz that you get from landing an interview with somebody that you had, you know, you never thought would be possible. And then I don't know what it's like for you, but there are some comics that come to Moon Tower that you end up forming, you know, quasi friendships with. And that's pretty cool too.
Well, I'm kind of envious of you. It's like you've developed this relationship with Jeremiah Watkins. You've interviewed him every year that he's come to Moon Tower, and we've gotten to see him grow in his career and become this giant comedy monster. He's amazing. He could do anything. And it's every time it's like something big happens, it's like going, yeah, I could totally see him do that. And it's like, and then something bigger comes the next year and he's growing into, it's like an amazing career.
Yeah.
And you got to document it. It's like from the early stages. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually haven't even reached out to him yet because I don't know if he's going to have time for me this year. Last year was the first year I had to work through his manager to, you know, find time in his schedule for us to talk. So this year I'm just going to do a, hey, last minute, let's get together whatever small pocket of time you can give me. But I'm thinking if not this year, well, this year he's not for sure, 'cause it's not officially on the schedule, but, if not next year, the following year, he's going to be a headliner. Mm. And in that case, I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk to him, but yes, it's very fascinating to document somebody's journey in that way.
Well, I can relate to that, and that I've been the pleasure of seeing folks on the rise, and sometimes it's like when it just fits and you able to land a really strong interview that that just gets it. The artist remembers and they try to seek out and say, like, hey, it's like, you know, I want to make sure it's like I talk to this person because I know we'll both have a good time. Mm-hmm. It's not just it's like the checking the boxes it's like or something. It's like it's this is something that's like that we can both enjoy as like and have a good time with. And sometimes that works out. Yeah. But I also understand when somebody gets like big and busy and it's like and you're competing with like, I don't know, People Magazine or Variety, it's like on some, like South by Comedy or something like that. That can be it's like a heady time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like what it might be. It's like from Moon Tower. It's like I haven't seen any people quite like that just yet at Moon Tower. But I'm sure it's like it's just a matter of time before they have like somebody like that. It's like that. It's kind of like also say like visiting to the fest every year as well. It's like making things happen, making news items. It's like out of something like that. So,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's like, you know, one of the reasons I also wanted to talk with you is we can kind of like throw down a little bit. It's like about what we like and don't like about this year. I had the pleasure very recently to interview Lisa and Colleen, who are the driving force behind the scenes. It's like for Moon Tower, and they're very great and they're great people. But at the same time, it's like we can like dish about what our likes and our dislikes and it's like and changes. And maybe one of the biggest changes is like going into Moon Tower. It's called Moon Tower Comedy 2024 as opposed to Moon Tower Comedy and Just for Laughs, because Just for Laughs is kind of, this institution kind of disappeared. Now, to their credit for Colleen and Lisa, they both says like the fest is unchanged. It's just a naming thing. And so I get it. And it's like, and it's totally legit. And I don't want to put a dark cloud on this cool thing that they've yeah. always done since the beginning of the fest. But at the same time, I guess it's like it kind of may speaks a little bit to, like, to the state of festivals and comedy festivals in 2024, where for a long time with music festivals, there was always just like this worry, it's like of being overextended. And mm-hmm. music festivals always had thin margins, even in the heyday. And so I wonder what this means moving forward for it makes Moon Tower more important, I guess. It's like, because there's a chance there might be fewer things like this. Mm-hmm. So it makes it more significant that this year is like, is a big festival for them. So,
yeah. Well, there's a lot to unpack with this notion of festivals and with Moon Tower specifically. Next, not this week, but next week, I'll be, my article about Moon Tower will be coming out in the Austin Chronicle. And one of the points that I make that I think Litza and Colleen are fully behind is that Moon Tower has been its own independent comedy festival for 10 years. They did the partnership with JFL for 2 years. And it grew and grew and grew and evolved and was a very tightly run ship before JFL came along, and it will continue to be a tightly run ship with those two at the helm and their team. And yeah, I mean, to me, it does feel like it was really just a branding thing. Sure, they might have been able to bring like super big names, although they've always brought in super big names. It's not surprising that they landed Shane Gillis, Andrew Schultz, Marin, because, and you know, some of these names are people that have come to Moon Tower before as younger kids in the comedy world. So, I mean, I think weaving to it's going to make Moon Tower even more important. I do believe that Moon Tower is poised to be the next JFL with a couple of caveats. One, we don't attract the industry that JFL is known to have attracted. And so, you know, is that something that Moon Tower and Litza and Colleen are interested in cultivating? I don't know. I don't know if you got that out of them, but that would be the question that I would have in my mind. Or do they just want to keep having a very solid comedy festival that is focused on having the fans be happy with who they bring and creating this environment for the performers where they always call it's like comedy summer camp. The performers have such a good time with it that they love Moon Tower for that.
That's a very good point. Moon Tower was always cool.
Yeah.
And so in some ways, Just for Laughs kind of needed to be a part of the cool thing that they already had made. So
yeah. And then the third thing is I talked to we just released the episode with Nate Jackson, who's the deputy editor at the LA Times, who's come to Austin and covered the Austin scene a couple of times in the last 2 years. And we talked about the Netflix is a Joke Fest, and that festival is massive. I can't remember how many venues he said they're taking over, but it's a lot. And it is exhausting to scroll down the list of performers. It is crazy.
That's very, very interesting, because it's like I've heard people who performed at Edinburgh Comedy Festival in England says like it's nice, but also it's too much. Mm. It's too many venues, too many people. You end up like with like maybe three folks in the audience because you're competing against thousands of really awesome people. So
yeah. So I don't know if Netflix, you know, with its Netflix money, is going to then go into try to shoe in on this market of, you know, bringing in industry, because it's based in Los Angeles. The industry is already there.
Well, I can see folks make that argument because of folks like Tom Segura, or it's like, dare I say it, Joe Rogan, mm-hmm. being in town. It's like going, oh, it's like, well, now Austin has, it's like a couple of really big fish in a small pond. And so maybe this is, you know, even Ron White, and it's like some of these other guys, it's like, you know, there might be something there that, but I don't know. It's
but
like,
you need managers, and you need film industry, and that's what you need to be able to bring in or to have existing. And I don't know if we'll want to go there, if Moon Tower will want to go there.
Yeah. Well, it's like there's supposed to be, it's like a movie studio getting built. I think it's like outside of Del Valle. That's like, I forget exactly, but there's supposed to be like these things. It's like that it's supposed to change the dynamic. And so maybe we'll see something. In 7 or 8 years or so.
Yeah.
Depending on how fast things gear up.
I mean, Netflix just released a comedy special. Can't remember if it's Simpson or Samson, but that special was recorded at Comedy Mothership.
Oh.
And so if we start seeing more specials being recorded, and, you know, Mo Mayer, he recorded one of his recent specials at Paramount. So if we could start seeing more and more of that, you know, at the level that Netflix is hosting the specials, where you get lots of attention on, hey, Austin's a good recording city.
Dave Chappelle did his at ACL Live, and so he did like I think three or so. It's like of those. It's like a, and so there's like little bumps like that. It's like that. I agree. It's like I think people start to see. It's like, well, maybe it's like there's enough tech support and quality and venues. It's like in audiences. It's like that. Maybe this will be a place that we want to do more stuff at. I still need to see that episode that special that was recorded at the Mothership, because I've yet to see a show at the Mothership.
Oh yeah, I know. You and I are in that same camp. I keep thinking I'm going to be close, and then something in my son's schedule blows up, and I can't. But
they sell out very fast, and I kind of want to be invited. As a part of the illiterati of the Austin comedy scene, I think we ought to get walked in through the door past the velvet rope and have our own little booth. It's like it's a stage side and you know, be courted a little bit. Yeah.
You and I could be the two Muppet characters from the top of the stage.
Yeah, we'll just sit there with our arms folded, and it's like a just stern face. It's like, and not laugh ever. And it's like, until it's like, and just make them sweat. It's like, that's the whole idea. Make them sweat. It's like, but yes, I do like doing the Statler and Waldorf. It's like from the Muppets.
Yeah,
it's like, I like that idea. We could make that into a thing between the two of us.
We're both gray haired and we're curmudgeonly in our own ways. I think it's perfect. Oh my God. This should be a bit, Tracy.
Absolutely. We'll make this into a whole thing. We'll just do shows. We'll put comics on stages, and then we'll just be also on stage in a little behind like a little, it's like a box. It's like, you know, just, it's like on stage, just like stage right, just staring at them the whole time. We'll make this into this. They wouldn't know. It's like, oh, I got booked. It's like, well, little did you know, this is the show, and we'll make it into a thing. We'll make it into a thing.
Oh my God. Oh, I've already got ideas for this. So we're going to make this happen for sure.
I was talking about it, just kind of off the top of my head. Yeah. I want to see this. I really want to be a part of this. Yeah.
The nice thing is, you and I, we kind of met originally as friends of a morning show that has since changed its cast. But we've been friends just as long as we've been like both comedy nerds, you know, and talking about comedy. So I think we can make this work because we're friends.
Yeah. It's and I think that's like, that was, you know, the Dudley and Bob show, which is now, it's like Matt and Bob in the morning. It's like with Chewy. It's like, that's, you know, I think that was perfect, because it's like those guys, it's like, are comedy fans first.
Mm-hmm.
And they would interview every comic that came through town, especially through Cap City. And so that kind of built my appreciation of comedy. Greg Giraldo. That's how I heard about Greg Giraldo. It's like when he was, it's like going strong, and it broke my heart when he passed away. It because he was my favorite. And it's like, and it was because it's like those guys, it's like nurtured that appreciation for stand-up comedy, and they hosted him. And so it's like, well, it's like, this guy has to be pretty good, because it's like they gave him some time, and I fell in love with his comedy. He was amazing. Yeah. I discovered a lot of comics that way, just by listening to the radio, and just kind of it's like feeling like they were kind of in the room with me. And so that was crucial. There's a reason why I do some of this stuff. So
yeah, my comparable for that one is Leanne Morgan, who started off as, you know, just, she'd come through every once in a while. She had a long, long standing relationship with Cap City. It was one of the first places she ever performed at as a stand up. And she'd come back every year, and she'd always come by, and it was just, hearing her voice was the best. And now, you know, massive Netflix special movies, and you know, sold out theaters.
She was always, you know, putting in the work and always did good stuff. And then within the last 2 years, everything clicked. The audience was there. It's like the industry was there, and they said, this is a star. And we have gotten to see that, say, for a while now. And now everybody else is like agrees. And now she's she's reaping the benefits. And she also did a headlining show at ACL Live not too long ago, and it's like did and killed it. She was amazing.
Absolutely. Well, should we geek out a little bit about the 2024 Moon Tower and who you're looking forward to seeing and checking out? And
well, right off the bat, it's like, you know, it's like maybe it's like talking a little bit about maybe the folks, it's like, that were kind of pleasantly surprised to be able to see on the bill. It's like Kathy Griffith and Shane Gillis. I put them both together because both of them was like were quote unquote canceled, and now they're not. And it's kind of neat. It's like I'm not necessarily a devout Shane fan, but not because of his comedy, but because of his comedy fans kind of like to troll people on Twitter. And so it kind of like takes, you know, I've been a fan of artists. It's like who I try to separate their fans from the artists. Yeah. But it's like outside of that, it's like, you know, I think I wish them both. It's like great stuff. And of course, Shane was on Saturday Night Live. Kathy had a documentary that she premiered at South By a couple of years ago. And so this is the first chance to be able to watch her do stand-up. And so I'm looking forward to that opportunity to be able to see her do her thing. And see, it's like, outside of all the stories of everybody is like has something to say about Kathy Griffin, let's watch her comedy. Let's see, it's like what's there. And it's like, and see her artistry and see what we like about that. So I'm looking forward to that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I tend not to focus on the headliners. Just because I love the club show weekend. But if I look at the headliners, the people that that I'm excited about, are number one for me is Brad Williams. I mean, he started off as just doing the club show circuit. And in the last couple of years, he has gotten so much more popular and famous. And now he's, you know, headliner level. And I got to talk to him. I don't know if you've ever gotten to, but he's an amazing guest and conversationalist, and just so damn funny. Just so damn funny. I after seeing him at the club shows for a couple of years, I would make it a point to go see him when he would headline at Cap, and just incredible. I just love him. Love him.
No, you're absolutely right. I totally admit to, it's like, maybe not taking him serious as a comic before. I thought it's like, oh, it's like he's a guy that's kind of short. Yeah. And so he's kind of maybe he's like using that as you know, a form of like prop comedy. And it's like, but he has the goods, and his material is great, and he's genuinely funny. He's really self-deprecating, but he has jokes. He's great, and he's entertaining. And every time you see him, you're like going, that's killer. That's great. He would be on, it's like the goddamn Comedy Jam. It's like, that's really cool too. And he kills it. It's like, he stands out of all these other heavy hitters, and he just does these things. It's like going, he's undeniable. It's like, you have to admit that he's very naturally funny.
Yeah. Yeah. then just from a geek perspective, the fact that the state is coming back for its reunion tour here at Moon Tower is kind of exciting. I love Michael Ian Black. I love just about everybody that's part of the state, but I have a special place in my heart for Michael Ian Black, and I wish I could have landed an interview with him, but no such luck. I wish you the best of luck. Hope maybe you can land him, but I love him.
I haven't tried, but I had the chance to be able to interview him when he came through on a regular stand-up show a couple years ago, and he was very cool about it all. And he's one of those guys that can kind of blend Twitter politics with his stand-up, and it's like still be funny and still be interesting and still have something to say. The state reunion is a rare deal. It's like there's been reunions of Kids in the Hall and Bruce McCullough is coming, so that's a big deal. I've never seen Bruce McCullough do stand-up outside of the Kids in the Hall, but the state seems like it's an even rarer deal. It's like if you were alive during the days of MTV when they were on, it became a special thing. It was kind of like the cool kids knew about this. Saturday Night Live was around and that was nice, but the state was something special. Mm-hmm. And it was a word of mouth thing. So I'm kind of curious to see what they do. It's as a sketch. And what they do as a group and how they vibe with each other and what they cover. Because I think that'd be very rare, special stuff. It's you just won't be able to see it anywhere. So
what do you think about the small print crew?
it's nice to be able to see Doug Ballard back. I love Doug. He's one of my favorites. And so it's nice to be able to see him come back. Avery Moore, Joey Z, two locals that are getting the nod. That means a lot. Especially here in Austin, that they're a part of this. And Mac Blake as well. There's
Avery's
a few of those.
Playing a special, actually. So that's pretty exciting for her. And Joey's glow show is he's taking it on tour. So that glow show is something really, really special. And I've never gone to see it because it's either at a really weird time or I have a scheduling conflict. And when I looked at the schedule, I was preparing for our little Geek Fest here. I looked at the schedule and I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm finally going to be able to go see a glow show.
It's worth checking out. I always thought oh, it's just a conceit for a comedy show, but it's black light and neon blow up things. It's on stage. It's there's a lot of pop references, but it plays in that room a certain way that it's going, oh, okay. It's this is coming from a happy place. This is kind of neat. And it's fun. And there's something about it. And it's Joey Z's kind of nerdy altruism that kind of comes through a little bit, and you're oh, this is fun. This is I'm glad I'm here. And so that kind of comes through in the show.
I'm excited for some newer names, including some traditionally Comedy Mothership performers, Sam Lopez, who I got to talk to I think last month. She's fantastic. I've not seen Cam Peterson. He performs there a lot. Dylan Sullivan performs there a lot, and he's back on the bill. And I love Dylan. He's great. And then the other Dylan, Dylan Carlino, who won FPIA's contest last year, is getting his shot, and that's pretty cool. I expect him to make big splashes on the shows that he's on.
Well, again, that says a lot. That we can grow talent.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing these folks be able to do these things, and be able I think there's a certain, maybe I don't know what the reason might be, but Comedy Mothership is not included. It's in the South by Comedy, and it's not really included in Mothership, but you can tell that there's a mutual benefit. It's these things, exist. It's kind of help promote comedy in Austin, and it's nice to see some of these folks make. It used to be a big deal. It's where a comic could only do South by Comedy or only do Moon Tower, and I think there was some horror stories of folks getting knocked a little bit, where they would be disinvited from the latter because of XYZ. But it seems now the comedy scene is kind of wanting to help sustain and promote. Yeah. And it's like, if you're here for one, it's like you're here for both. If you're here at Comedy Mothership, it's like, you know, it's all good. Shane Gillis just like did a run at the Comedy Mothership, I think 6 months ago. So it didn't impact his headlining at Cedar Park Center. So I think it's all working out. So,
One of the highlights for me this year is seeing Andy Kindler come back. He was an institution of Moon Tower before COVID, and I got to talk to him. So that interview is going to be coming out next weekend, and it was very very interesting. He conscientiously would not travel. He took this super seriously, so much though, it's only very recently has he gotten on a plane.
Oh wow.
And he's he has one special out, one album out, hence the humor, which I've been listening to, and it is so fantastic and so captures his style of comedy. And he told me during this interview that he was planning on recording his second special at Moon Tower, but he decided not to, and he was just going to be preparing for his special so that he could relax and have fun while he's here at Moon Tower. And he's doing a handful of shows. He's doing a solo show, doing his particular show, which I think is something that he used to always do at Moon Tower before. And then he's going to be on Stars and Bars and some other shows. So I'm excited that he's back.
Well, it's a big deal. Cause again, it's like Andy Kindler will also do the State of Comedy. It's like, I think it's like at Just for Laughs. And so it's like, he's like the elder statesman of comedy.
Yeah.
And when he would be in town for Moon Tower, he it's like, who am I trying to think of? It's like the guy who tours a lot with JT Haverstadt. It's like the...
Eddie Pepitone.
Eddie Pepitone. So it's like in past, it's like for Moon Tower, they would be on the same bill, and they would be basically riffing to each other each other while everyone else is just watching. It's like Eddie would be on stage and he'd be like just staring at Andy's like and just cutting him, and then Andy would be on stage and it's like doing the and it was hilarious and it was special and it was brotherly love and it was but I love Andy. It's like Andy Kindler. He had a joke. It's like about the old Cap City being next door. It's like to the vampire restaurant called Dracula, which was true. It's like you have like this running bit about Mopac. It's like, what does that even mean? And it's like, Andy, it's like, what's a Mopac? And it's very, very Austin-y, very kind of Andy Kindler. It's like in his delivery, but it warms my heart. So
yeah.
If I was like to say is like about some things I'm looking forward to, it's like kind of along the same lines as it's like Andy Kindler, we get the chance to see it's like Todd Barry's, Dan St. Germain. It's like folks like Mike Birbiglia who could tour outside of this fest and sell out. Roy Wood Jr. is like, these are heavy hitters. It's like Nicole Byer, Rachel Bloom. Rachel Bloom is also, it's like a nice twist too. It's like kind of changing up comedy to music and comedy. And then it's like maybe it's like one of the bigger ones is Jeff Ross, who's debuting a new show, something very different. It's like from his other stuff that he's done. It's like outside of Roast Battle and all that stuff. He's like he's on the road right now with this new concept. It's like that he's doing. It's like, and so I'm kind of curious to see what that's going to look like.
Yeah. Such goodness. So much goodness.
Well, if I had a chance, it's like to interview anybody here, and there's a lot of names. I'm tossed up. It's like between the Love It or Leave It team, just because it's politics and comedy and something very different, but also Tim Robinson. To me, if you get a chance to see that show, that's a special show because it's like he is on fire right now. He can do no wrong. He's going to have like a Netflix deal, like with 15 specials, it's like in his own television development deal. This guy is on the rise. He's undeniable as a comedy star. And I think seeing him, it's like in town during Moon Tower would be kind of killer. So
yeah. Oh man, if I oh I it's impossible for me to pick. I can't pick just one. For me, I in addition to all of the names that I've mentioned, there are two I would call them absurdist comics that I love. That so we have Sarah Sherman and Chloe Fineman from SNL are coming in, and Sarah is just out of this world, total absurdist performer, and it kills me and breaks my heart that I had bought tickets to go see her show the summer before she landed SNL. So I was like on the verge of going to see her, and then she landed SNL, and it's like, oh well, that's never gonna happen now. on a small stage, and she's coming with Chloe Fineman, who is an incredible character performer. And but kind of in that vein, as far as absurdist and characters, Casey Rocket, who is to me the Austin Wonder Child, and then coming back to Austin, Martin Urbano, who isn't so much an absurdist, but he is crazy and just brilliant,
Yeah,
and
that's a
I'm
big
excited.
deal because I
Yeah.
think he's taping at the state, and this is a rare chance to be able to see him back because he's been in New York, he's been writing for TV shows. And
Yeah.
so, for folks
Which
that
is all.
remember, it's like it's a really big deal, but also it's like he has, like you said, he has this kind of like ease that goes into surreal stuff,
Yeah.
and it takes a certain level of confidence. It's like, where it's like, I know this is going to be weird, but it's going to pay off.
Yeah.
And the audience sticks it out, and it's like, and it pays off, and it's special. It's yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess it's like, if I get a chance, it's like to interview Marc Maron, then I would be like one step away, it's like from Obama, because he interviewed Obama famously. And the last time he was at Moon Tower, he was like, yeah, this is great. And it's like, I was like, what do you got next? It's like, he was like, oh, just doing my regular thing. Like 2 weeks later, he interviewed Obama. So
Wow.
he didn't let anybody know. It's like at Moon Tower they had Obama on the books. And so it's like that was kind of like amazing to see. But as a guy who talks in a microphone, it's like I would love to ask him, it's like how do you make this financially work?
Yeah, right. Yes, I would like to know that too.
Can we all do the garage day job things, like where we just never leave our house and talk about our cats?
Oh my God, that'd be great.
It'd be great. It'd be great. It's like we just have to. We've all been chasing that. It's like he's the founder of this thing that we do. It's like, or at least one of them. It's like so. It's like it's amazing to be able to see him back and doing stand up. It's a rare treat. And of course, Ronnie Chang and Annie B. Sedaris. It's like they're amazing as well. Andrew Schultz is amazing. It's like Frankie Quinones is looks like is amazing. Joe Pera. There's a lot of names attached to this. Mark Birbiglia would be a big deal for me because he did that movie Don't Think Twice, which is all about improv, and premiered it at South by. And it's still it's like one of the best fictional movies I've seen about an improv troupe. And I'd be curious to see him, and so I can be able to speak with him. It's like a stars align and all that jazz. So,
Well, I just got to drop the news to somebody that they were opening for Marc Maron. She did not know this. I've been talking
oh,
to Sophie Buttle for the last 2 years, and we're gonna chat again this year. And I said, "Did you know you were opening for Marc Maron?" She's like, "No, you just told me."
wow. Well,
So I'm
breaking
like,
news.
"Great, yeah." So that was pretty cool, and she's awesome. She's kind of going viral right now. She's been doing these little from her tour videos, and she talks about political topics. But what's r funny, and she is so smart. This woman is so brilliant, and in conversations I've had with her, I know she's brilliant. But she has this very low-cut blouse, and so this grabs your attention. But then she's talking about the Hamas-Israel conflict and breaking it down, and it's like she's saying actual intelligent things and breaking down the conflicts in like ways that people can understand without necessarily like being angry and whatever. but she's
wow.
I just think she's brilliant.
I gotta go check out those videos for
the information. Yeah, watch it, Tracy. Watch it, Tracy.
For the news.
Yeah.
For the discourse.
Whatever gets her views. Yeah. I want her star to keep rising.
Hey, right, no, well, I'm down for that. It's like, you know, if it works, it works. And so it's how you get there. It's like, you know, whatever works, works. So
yeah. I know we have to start wrapping up. I do a rapid fire. I'm going to do a rapid fire version with you since I forgot to kick off with this, but sure. I do this question at the beginning and a question at the end, but let's do it rapid fire style. Tracy, one word to describe your past.
Oh, uneventful.
Okay. And one word to describe your future.
Hopeful.
I like it. All right. Anything else before we wrap up?
It's like I'm kind of being coy. It's like with uneventful, but it's like there's a lot. There's a lot there. It's like and sometimes it makes me sad, but it's like sometimes it's like I'm surprised that I lasted this long. So I'm happy to be here. Well, but no. I really appreciate it. And for sure. It's like, thank you so much. It's like for sharing your space with me. It's like, this is a big deal for myself. And so thank you so much. I feel like I'm part of the comedy scene by being a part of Comedy Wham. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being my friend, Tracy.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, that is a wrap on Comedy Wham Presents. Tracy Schultz, tell us where we can find you on social media and your upcoming shows, projects, where we can listen to you in the mornings, on weekends.
Everything is at Tracy Schultz, and I can it's like on all the socials. And then it's like on Co-op Radio Thursdays, 1 to 2 p.m. is on my main show called What's New, where this will air as well. And then you can also find me, it's like usually on Saturdays and Sundays, it's like in middays, it's like on KUT. And it's like, I don't always like talk about that, but it's like it's good to be a part of that.
Every right. time I hear your voice, I go, Tracy!
Well, I have to go check on the radio. So it's like, make sure it's like everything's playing as it should. But I will talk to you real soon.
All righty. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you. See you soon.
We hope you've enjoyed learning about how Tracy got to be the comedic genius and insightful fan as much as I have been. This has been Comedy Wham Presents Tracy Schultz. I'm Valerie, and that's been funny. Thank you, Tracy. He's already gone, but he said thank you.